desire and interest in your prayers today. Like to turn to the 19th chapter of Luke this morning. Lord willing, we'll wrap up this little series on being an open house, having an open life, opening all parts of our heart, life, activities before Jesus. You know, I was thinking this week, I don't know why when I'm inspired with a message to give, I don't know why most of the time. I don't know who it's for. Maybe for everyone. I feel like that this series of lessons is for somebody. And I hope that all of us, because I believe it's a series of messages that is good for everybody, and that we'll be able to get a hold of the lessons that that God wanted to be part of His Word, to be taken down throughout all of the ages of time, that we might learn from it and be edified. I don't want to be in the place where I think, well, that's just for somebody else. I want you to know this morning that I want to get my portion out of this Word for me. I desire your prayers today as we look into this a little further. We've been exploring the account of Zacchaeus and some of the lessons that can be learned from it. Three main things, the first being that Zacchaeus didn't allow spiritual or situational circumstances in his life to hinder him from seeking Jesus. And number two, that he made haste to open up his house. He made haste to open up his heart and take up Jesus on his willingness, on his offer to come to his house that day. Not the next day, not next week, but that day. And thirdly, that Zacchaeus also made haste to take action, to close the spiritual gaps that was revealed unto him. And when he did those three things, the result was that salvation came to Zacchaeus' house, and peace and happiness came to Zacchaeus. And that is what the Lord would have for all of us this morning. We spoke specifically about reflecting on those things that might color our identity. Did you know that you have an identity in your own mind and in the mind and eyes of other people and also of God? We talked last Sunday a little bit about reflecting on those things that might color those distinguishing characteristics or traits about us, specifically those things that where maybe we have spiritual need, and that we want to not allow those things to hinder us from seeking Jesus. Jesus is He's our good shepherd, and the Lord gave His life that He might help preserve the lives of all of those that are in such great need. Jesus is not someone to be feared this morning. Jesus Christ is not somebody to avoid. Jesus is not somebody to close the door to a place in our life that maybe we're not proud of and maybe we've struggled with and we know that is unlike Jesus. And it can be a human tendency that When there are things in our lives that we know are unlike Jesus, we can tend to close the door to try to separate us from Jesus because we know it's not like Him. Don't be afraid to open yourself up and your lives and those pieces and parts and weaknesses and sins and failures and weights that you know is unlike Jesus. Don't be afraid to bring them to Jesus. That's why He came, and how special it is when Jesus passes by and visits us with His presence and with His conviction, which is our friend. And when the Lord comes our way, He comes with a drawing and a love that we can't find anywhere else. I want to have my heart and my eyes and my ears open to be drawn to Jesus Christ. I'd like now to read, maybe we'll start at the fifth verse. We left Zacchaeus up in a tree, I think, last time. Maybe this morning we can get him down from the tree. Verse 5 said, "And when Jesus came to the place, He looked up, and He saw him. And He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." It said, when Jesus came to the place. What place? What was He talking about? It said, when He came to the place. What place? When He came to the place where Zacchaeus was. That's what He was talking about. When Jesus was passing through Jericho and He came to the place. When He came to the place right where Zacchaeus was. When Jesus passes by Laranger and He passes by your address. When He passes by the place where you are. It said He looked up and He saw him. When Jesus comes by and He passes by our way and He comes to the place where we are, He sees us. He sees us just like we are. The Lord looks upon us and He sees the good with the not so good. And the Lord passes by our way, our homes, and those situations that maybe we struggle with. And maybe He passes by when we're trying to get a hold of Jesus, like Zacchaeus was. And He stops. And He looks up. And He sees us just like we are. He sees us and He knows us. And He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Zacchaeus, I know your name. We haven't met in a tangible way before. And we didn't have phones and we don't have email and text messages. And we've never talked this way before. But I know your name, Zacchaeus. And He called him by name, just as Jesus calls your name today. He passes by your way and He calls you by your name. And He says, make haste. Don't delay. Come down, because today I'm going to come to your house. Make haste. I must abide at thy house. When? Today. Jesus didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say at a more convenient time. Jesus didn't say, Zacchaeus, I'm on my way through Jericho and I see you and I see your need and I recognize you're there up in a tree and you went out of your way to see me. I'll come by at another time and maybe I can go to your house. No. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste because today I'm going to come by your house. Last Sunday night we heard a message on quench not the spirit. Folks, may God help us not to quench the desired visitation of Jesus Christ in our lives. When He comes by your way, and He speaks to you, and He calls you by name, and He knocks on your heart's door, and He reveals something to you and says, "Let me come in." May God help us not quench the Spirit of God. Not quench the convicting Spirit of God. Not quench the love and the drawing of Jesus Christ. But that we would give ourselves wholly and completely to respond to the call of the Lord. It seems like there's always reasons to delay and defer, doesn't it? When the Lord comes by, oh, well, we're ready for the Lord to come by and answer prayer. When we have a need, and we say, "Lord, I need this. Lord, I'm in trouble here. Lord, would you help me in this time of trouble?" And when the Lord passes by and said, "I'm here to come to your house to help you with this thing you are asking," we don't usually delay and defer, do we? We're ready to say, "Lord, thank you. I've been praying that you would help me. Come in now." But what happens when the Lord comes by and He sees us in a spiritual need, in a close place, and He says, "Rod, make haste. Come down, because I want to go to your house today. I want you to open up all rooms in your house. Open up all doors. Open up the places that you're struggling with. Let's just have a completely open house and let me come in." Did you know that sometimes there are places that we're not ready to change? Change can be difficult. Change can be scary. We can be fearful of making changes in our life, particularly when they're transformational changes. When we have to make hard turns to the right or left. Sometimes when we have to turn around and go the opposite direction. And so when the Lord comes by and He talks with us, sometimes it's so easy to have all kinds of reasons to delay and to defer action. And we tell ourselves they're good reasons. Justifiable reasons. You know, it would just be better if I waited until this situation here passes, and then I'll be in a better place to respond. When Jesus passes by, when the knowledge of the truth is recognized, that is the time to make haste. And He made haste. And He came down. And He received him joyfully. The best time to have an open house and to allow the Lord to come in and break the bread of life is when He comes by your way and calls your name and says, "Make haste. Come in." And yet the enemy is so busily working to cause us to procrastinate, perhaps with good intentions, in opening up the doors and places in our lives that we're not comfortable being open. Perhaps we're not ready to make change. Perhaps we know change is needed. Maybe we want to make change, but we put it off and we procrastinate. And we delay, brothers and sisters, this morning. I fear there's going to be a lot of people that miss heaven that had good intentions. That had every intention of eventually doing what was right. But let the days pass without yielding to the voice of the Spirit. I remember when I was a teenager at home, and Brother Austus in the home congregation was told a story of a young man that wanted to do it his way. Wanted to live like he wanted to live. And he wouldn't yield to the opportunity to make right his life. And he thought that life was out there. That's where fulfillment was. And so he gave himself to living his way, as the multitudes do today. Want to do it my way. It's my life. It's my opportunity. This is me. I want to live like I want to live, because I think I know best how to find fulfillment in life than anyone else. And so he did. It's a true story. Until time passed, and he found out that life without Jesus comes with heavy consequences. And it's hard. It's a hard life. And it doesn't bring the fulfillment that is presented to us when we dream. There is the reality that is associated with sin. There is a reality that is associated with living a life absent of Jesus Christ. And this young man found that reality. And finally, after time, he came to the place where he said, I see the error. I want to get right. I want to get saved. I see that this is the way to live. I want to get right now. I'm almost there. And I believe it was a pastor, minister, somebody that was working with him. It was kind of like Philip and the eunuch where he said, what doth hinder me? This is truth. There's water. There's baptism. What doth hinder me? And he said, let's get saved. And the young man said, I'm almost ready. I just want... It was either 1 or 2 weeks. I can't remember which. It was somewhere in between 1 or 2 weeks. I just want a few more days, and I'm going to come back to where you are, and I want to get my life right with God. If you're fearing the story didn't end well, you're right. The man never made it back. Taken out into eternity to face God in an unexpected accident. Didn't make haste to open up his heart when Jesus came by and saw him and said, come. There was a man in Shreveport congregation, during meeting time, under heavy conviction, in the back. And someone went back to talk with him and encourage him to get right with God. And he looked at him and he told him, he said, if I go out into eternity and miss heaven, you can feel good in knowing that it wasn't because you didn't try. And that night he went out and met God in another unexpected accident. And we think, well, these are just stories of one-off incidents. I am not here today to try to create irrational fear. I'm not trying to draw anybody to Christ or open doors in their house that have been closed that they were fearful of opening by using fear as a motive or mechanism. In fact, I have found that people are way more drawn by the love of Jesus than they are the fear of hell. So that is not my point this morning. My point is the reality that the Lord comes back at unexpected times. And the time to open the door of the rooms that the Lord knocks on is when He knocks. And I can't help but think about the man at the wedding that wanted to do it his way again. Perhaps he wasn't procrastinating, but some way, somehow, he was comfortable enough to go into the wedding. You've read the parable that Jesus gave. And he didn't want to wear a wedding garment. There was a part of it, even though it was supplied, even though the wedding garments were supplied, the price had been paid for the wedding garments. They were there and made available for all of those that came. But he came by, said, no, I want to be part of it. I want to sit at the table. I want to eat of what the Lord has made available on His table. But I really don't want to do this. And he came in, and Jesus said that the Lord of the feast, he came to him and he said, Friend, where's your wedding garment? Friend, why is that door still locked in your house? Friend, I was willing to come in. I've made all of these things available for you, but why not over here? And it said that the man was speechless. He had no response. No good response to give to Jesus, to the Lord of the feast. And again, these are Jesus' words, not mine. Jesus said in His parable that the Lord of the feast said, bind him hand and feet and take him away. And there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. It's not that few are chosen because many come. Few are chosen because few choose. Few are chosen because few choose to be willing to willingly unlock the doors of every place of their heart and make haste when the Lord comes by and knocks on your heart's door and calls you by name. Few are chosen because we're so good at delaying and deferring, like Felix the governor did. When Paul reasoned with him of righteousness, of temperance, and judgment to come. And it said Felix trembled. Remember what he told him? What he told Paul? He said, go thy way. It would be almost like Jesus passing by and saying, Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide at thy house. Or Jesus passing by and saying, Rod, come down. I must abide at thy house. And we say, go thy way, Lord. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for thee. Don't fall into that trap. May God help us not to fall into that trap. That may be the last time Jesus Christ passes by our way. He is the one that brings Spirit-given conviction. I can't create conviction on my own. Yes, Jesus is merciful. Yes, Jesus comes by many times. Yes, Jesus pursues those that are out and away. Yes, Jesus waits at the end of the road looking and hoping that people come to Him. But I can't live my life with the attitude that I can just ring a bell at will and the Lord just appears and does everything spiritually that I want Him to do just at my beck and call with the Spirit that He's my servant and not the other way around. You see what I'm saying? He's God. We're the created. He holds life and death in His hand. It's up to Him to decide when He calls me home. I don't know when that time is. I want to respond when the Lord calls my name. I want to make haste. I don't want to delay to open up my house completely to the Lord. This applies to us all. This isn't... I don't believe the Lord gave this message for those that didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. We are people that love the Lord. I believe that's why we're here today. But I believe that if we are not very careful, we can become at ease in Zion. There's a verse, I think it's the 6th chapter of Amos, somewhere close. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Did you know that we can become so comfortable with church culture? We can become comfortable and at ease coming to church, staying away from certain places, going to other places, abstaining from this, taking this on in our life, living good moral lives, having been in past services and camp meetings where the Holy Spirit was there and we can relate those incidents to other people. And we can become comfortable and at ease. When was the last time that you fell on your knees before God and said, "Oh God, Father, have mercy on me. Lord, if there is anywhere in my life that is separating me from You, Lord, if I'm blind to it, Lord, if I don't see it, Lord, would You anoint my eyes with the eye salve of the Holy Spirit that I might be able to see? Lord, help me that I might make progress in the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, do I have truly the love of God? Lord, do I have a spirit to serve others like You want me to have? Or Lord, am I as one of the 5 foolish virgins that live a life unspotted from the world yet have lost the oil out of my heart? Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, try my heart, know my reins. Do we do that? Or do we get comfortable? Feeling like a long time ago we found where truth was and we're living according to it and we're okay being separated from the rest of the world, but we have found ourselves at ease. This isn't just to those that maybe don't know Jesus. This is to all of us. Sometimes we turn the noise of routine. We turn the volume of good morals and we turn the volume of I've done it this way and I know it's truth and this is how I live. We turn that volume up so high that we fail to hear the Lord knock at our heart's door and say, "My child, there's a place in your heart that I want to help you with." Many are called, few are chosen. This last lesson here is likened unto the previous where Zacchaeus took action to close a spiritual gap. It said, he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner. Yes, that is what Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ is in the business of coming to help those that are in need, Christian and sinner alike. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. What did Zacchaeus do? It said he stood. He was ready to take action. He said, Lord, behold, this is what I'm going to do. And from his heart, he did what he felt like he needed to do to begin to make the crooked places in his life straight. He didn't seem to get under bondage of, well, exactly what do I need to do? And, well, if I go a little too far, this might happen. If I don't go far enough, and allow the enemy to paralyze him into no action at all. Zacchaeus got up. He stood up and he said, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. And he began to take action to make the crooked places straight, knowing that the Lord would help lead and guide him. If there was something that was off, it is a good shepherd that we follow that can help make our path straight to every single willing heart. Zacchaeus was ready to choose to give up his identity of being chief and being rich that we read before, and give and take on an identity of being a disciple of Christ. And we read a verse that speaks of bringing forth fruit meat for repentance. And that's what Zacchaeus did. He, Lord, yes, come into my house. And Lord, in his heart, he was, Lord, I'm sorry. And here's what I'm going to do. And he brought forth fruit that was consistent with the repentance that he offered in his heart. Don't be afraid to take action today. Don't draw back from making haste to take action. Don't be a hearer only. Lord, help me to come where your Holy Spirit would be willing to dwell. Lord, help me to listen for the sound of your voice. And Lord, help me to be a doer, consistent with those things that you have spoken to my heart. In conclusion, what was the result of Zacchaeus' example here? Jesus said unto him in verse 9, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. What more beautiful words can a person hear than this from Jesus Christ? Jesus speaking to your heart, this day salvation has come to your house. This house where there was a willing heart to open up all doors. I've come and I've spread the table and I've made the invitation and I've paid the price, and you came and you opened and you sat and you partook. And behold, salvation and happiness and joy is the result of it. And the wonderful news is that Jesus has come to bring those good tidings to every single house, every willing heart. Verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, this morning, perhaps we're not all lost in the sense that we haven't been saved, but perhaps today we're struggling with something in our lives that we feel despair in. Maybe we're struggling with something as a Christian that maybe we've been afraid to completely open up before Jesus. Maybe we feel lost. The invitation of Jesus is come. Come unto me. Make haste.
Open up your house completely because I want to come in and I want to help you. Let's be encouraged today that we not allow spiritual or situational circumstances to hinder us from seeking Jesus, but that we would make haste to open up our hearts and to allow Jesus to come in, and that we would make haste to take action, to be willing and obedient, for that is when we can eat the fruit and the good of the Lamb. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each of us, is my prayer this morning. Amen.